This evening we'll continue on in 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, this evening, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, get there a second, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening, Lord. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that mercy that you showed to us, Lord. Lord, it's a marvelous grace, dear God. And we thank you for it, Lord. And help us not to take it for granted or take it lightly. Lord, help us to always walk in the light of it. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask for your wisdom, guidance, and help now this evening. That you please lead, guide, and direct, dear God. And that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. So help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." You know, as Paul's closing out this second letter that he's written to the church here at Thessalonica, he says, "Finally, brethren," he says, "pray for us." He says, pray for us. And what he wants prayer for is, he says, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. The Apostle Paul requests prayer that the word of the Lord, as it goes forth, as he preaches and teaches it, may have free course. And as it has free course in the sense that nothing hinders it, nothing hinders its flow, that it would be able to go forth and that it would be glorified. You see, the word of the Lord has free course if we allow it and we pray for it, brethren. Paul talks about in previous epistles and in the book of Acts, and talks about how there was times where Satan hindered what Paul was trying to do. And what we got to realize, we always got to keep in the back of our mind as we try to preach and teach and put forth the word of God, that we need to pray for all of us, pray for one another, that as we go out these doors and go into our lives, that as we try to put forth the word of God, that it may have free course. That there be nothing there as we try to preach Christ Jesus to this world, that there would be nothing there that would hinder that flow of God dealing with sinners. Brethren, there's things that we can have in our life that can cause a diversion or could plug up the free course that God tries to work in our lives and the lives of others. Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." We need prayer that the word of the Lord may have free course. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 6. Look at the book of Acts. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 7. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. Look at Acts chapter 6, and we're going to spend the majority of the rest of this evening in the book of Acts. But I want you to keep in the back of your mind as we're going through these scriptures in the book of Acts of what Paul requested prayer from the brethren, that the word of the Lord may have free course. And look at Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Brethren, wouldn't you like to see that happen today in our communities? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could come in next week and say the word of God increased greatly in the town of Bethlehem? The word of God increased greatly in the city of Easton and in Allentown, that many disciples were added to the church, that it was greatly multiplied this past week because the word of the Lord had free course and it increased greatly in our community. Brethren, as we look through these scriptures, and I'm not going to lie tonight. I'm trying not to lie tonight. It's going to be a short message. Just like bingo was short. I'm not handing out gift cards tonight. All right? But look at verse 7. But look what it took in verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now that's referring to the apostles. But you see what it takes. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. That's a hard one, brethren. Can you imagine that, brethren? Look, I wish sometimes I could preach and yet sit out there at the same time. And what I mean by that is, the word of God doesn't say sweet hour of prayer. It says continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. Take your Bible, look over at chapter 12, Acts chapter 12. Look at Acts chapter 12 and look at verse 24. Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. It's a good thing. Paul asked the church there at Thessalonica, that final letter he sent to him, he said, listen, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. We find here in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. That's a wonderful thing. Look over at chapter 17. Look at chapter 17, book of Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 6. Acts chapter 17 and look at verse number 6. Free course. The word of the Lord may have free course. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. And when they have found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Wow. Brethren, wouldn't it be said of some of the brethren in some places of the United States that they would have a reputation of that they've turned their community upside down because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and their walk with the Lord, so much so that that whole town was turned upside down because of their preaching? Well, the apostles and the disciples, they had such a ministry that the Bible says that they had a word and they had a testimony that these are the men that turned the world upside down. And guess what? They're coming into our community now. These men that have turned the world upside down. Brethren, so what does it take for the word of God to increase? What does it take for the word of God to grow and multiply? What does it take for the world to be turned upside down for the cause of Christ? There's a price tag to it. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Our prayer should be continually that the word of the Lord would have free course as we try to put it forth in our community. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 44. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Look what the Bible says here. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brethren, and we're going to go through the book of Acts, like I said earlier. How did these things occur during the book of Acts, which is a transitionary book, so I understand that. But as the apostles and the disciples went out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they turned the world upside down. How were they able to do so? How did the word of God go forth freely? How did it multiply and grow? But brethren, I think some of the answers we're going to find here, right here in the book of Acts, is that the brethren, when they got saved, they realized that they had all things common. So you know what that means is that I can go into Brother Glenn's house and I can just take whatever I want out of his house because his stuff's my stuff, right, brother? See ya. Now, I think what the Bible's saying here is that in our minds, we're here for one another. Not that I have free course or I have the opportunity to where I can come in your house and you can come to my house and this is mine. No, no. I think the principle that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to us here is that I have in my mind as a Christian that if you need a chainsaw, then my chainsaw is your chainsaw. And if I can help you out with it and lend it to you, then I ought to have the heart to lend it to you. Even if you break it. Seriously. You, I guess what I'm trying to get at tonight in this short message is that God is wanting it to come from the heart. And I believe when Christians live a Christian life that comes from the heart, God can do great things in that life. Not only do they have all things in common, the Bible says, verse 46, and they continually daily with one accord in the temple. Brethren, they had a heart for the things of God, they had a heart for one another, and they had a heart to be in church. They had a heart to be in church. Every time that they had an opportunity to be in the temple, the Bible says that these apostles, these disciples, they were continually daily in the temple. And not only did they have a heart for the things of God and the church house, they, brethren, they had a heart for one another, and they went from house to house breaking bread with one another. They had a fellowship with one another outside of the church building. Brethren, there ought to be fellowship outside of the church building. This is not some strange new doctrine, brethren. This is, you invite somebody over your house to have dinner, and they invite you over their house to have dinner. You have something common to gather around, and you break bread with one another. And guess what that does? That builds relationships and bonds that help you go strong for the things of God. Brethren, you are never going to grow together as a church. You're never going to grow together with one another in the cause of Christ if you do not fellowship or try to have fellowship with one another outside of these doors. You can't just live in your own little world on your own little island and expect the things of God to go forward and grow and multiply. And they did this, what the Bible says in verse 46, they and eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They had all things in common. They weren't attached to the things of this world. They had a generous spirit. They desired to be in church. They fellowshipped outside the church. They had a gladness and singleness of heart. And they praised God. Brother, I'll tell you one thing that sign holding does. It builds camaraderie. It builds camaraderie. It builds a unity and a strength with one another. Though the world may want nothing to do with it, what it does do, I'm telling you, it strengthens the brethren. Amen. Strengthens the brethren. Yes, sir. Take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 21. There's a cost that it comes to the Word of God having free course, nothing hindering its flow. And from God, the Word of God being increased and growing and multiplying and turning the world upside down, it does come at a cost. And we see a first glimpse of it here in Acts chapter 4, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Take your Bible, look down at verse 29, same chapter. And look what they prayed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You want God's word, you want the word of the Lord to have free course, you need to pray, God, Lord, behold their threatenings, but God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to have a boldness to speak your word. That's what we need, brethren. That's what we need in the day and hour we're living in. We need Christians that will have a boldness. When the time comes to speak, they'll speak the things of God with the right attitude and in the right spirit that the Word of God may go forward and have free course to deal with souls. Amen. Brethren, do you have a desire to go forward with the boldness of God to speak His Word despite the threatenings? These brethren in the book of Acts were threatened was speaking the things of God. Look at verse 31, same chapter, Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 31 now. And when they had prayed, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. That goes back to Acts chapter 2. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Brethren, you see the heart attitude as you go through the book of Acts. Now, again, I know it's a transition book, but brethren, this happened. And this isn't the charismatic movement. This isn't the Pentecostal movement. This is the movement of the Holy Ghost when he came as the comforter and enlivened and brought the church into existence through the power of Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on that cross. And a church is birthed here, and the church had power with God and power with men. Now, I'm not looking, brethren, I'm not looking this evening to sit in a church house and wait for the place to get shaken because the Holy Ghost comes in and fills the room. I think that was a transitional time, but what I do think is that the Holy Spirit still works today. I still believe that the Holy Spirit has power to deal with the hearts and souls of men. But these individuals had all things in common. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of those things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Brethren, those that had extra homes, those that had extra whatever, they had such a heart that they realized this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If I don't need this, I can sell it, and then I can take that money and give it to the apostles, and it can go forward and help propagate the word of God as they go forward trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, in their mind and in their heart, they were constantly thinking about, what can I do to help the gospel of Jesus Christ go forward for the souls of lost men? And Paul says to the church there in Thessalonica, brethren, please pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Take your Bible, look at chapter 5 of the book of Acts, and look at verse number 40. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40. And to them and to him they agreed, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Brethren, there's a price tag to it. There's a price tag to it. Brethren, they were beaten for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were beaten for speaking in the name of Jesus. And in verse 41, the Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know how these men turned the world upside down in chapter 17? Because they were willing to be beaten for the cause of Christ. And not just beaten, but after they're beaten, they rejoice that they were counted worthy to do so. And in verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at chapter 8. Kind of find a theme all the way through the book of Acts. Preach the word of God, you get beat for the word of God, you rejoice for the word of God. Acts chapter 8, look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 8, and look at verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that's Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Brethren, Paul asked the church there at Thessalonica, he says, brethren, please pray for us that the word of God will have free course. that nothing will hinder the flow of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it goes forth, as we try to preach it. And though those that may try to wreak havoc upon the church, those that will try to bring great persecution on the church, as that persecution and as that havoc comes, may God help us, though we may be cast into prison, to continually preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and not let it silence our lips. Amen. Brethren, possible death, facing havoc, prison, being scattered from your home, suffering persecution. All these things these brethren in the book of Acts went through. And as they went through it, the Lord gave them the strength and the help that they needed, and they were able to turn the world upside down by their testimonies. What does all this produce if done by the Holy Spirit of God? Real quick, look over back over at 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go right back to the book of Acts, and I'm almost done. Look what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. You know what Paul desired to be glorified? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. The word of the Lord being glorified. That means being honored. That means exalting it to glory. I'm going to close with this evening. Are you hungry for the word of God? It is this hunger that glorifies both God and his word. You see, the brethren in the book of Acts that we read through numerous verses there in the book of Acts, those brethren got saved. But as they got saved, they realized that when they got saved and they come to Jesus Christ, there was a price tag attached to it. They knew, I believe the majority of them knew that, listen, if I come to Jesus Christ as a Jew, my family's going to look at me as if I'm dead. Brethren, for a Jew to come to Jesus Christ, even in this day and hour, brethren, a Jew that comes to Christ and gets saved, their family, unless their family comes to Christ, their family will hold a funeral service for that son or daughter that has come to Jesus Christ, and they will regard them as being dead and no longer existing. There's a price tag. Can you imagine coming to Jesus Christ, realizing that your dad and your mother might never talk to you ever again? They might forsake you. They might actually even hold a funeral for you and say, you are no longer my son. You are no longer my daughter. You have gone to that Messiah, and we want nothing to do for you with you. Get out of our house. See, there's a price tag. But you see, with that price tag, if that individual is willing to go with Jesus Christ, they're going to have some power with God and with their testimony. Amen. And the word of the Lord will have free course with them, brethren, because they have a hunger for God. I think that's one thing that's lacking in a lot of our society today, is a true hunger for God, no matter the cost or the price tag that comes with it. Take your Bible, look over it back at Acts chapter 13 for a moment. Acts chapter 13 and look at verse 44. Acts 13 and look at verse 44. Acts chapter 13 and look at verse number 44. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Can you imagine that? Can you, now, brethren, right there is a revival service. Amen. You got the whole city coming together to hear the word of God, not sing praise and worship songs. They came together to hear the word of God, in verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas, here it is, waxed bold. Didn't they pray for that earlier? God, that you would grant to your servants boldness. God granted it. Here in verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. You know why? Because I bet in their flesh they wanted to run and hide. I'm not magnifying Paul higher than any other man. And I believe that the reason that word bold's in there is because if the word bold's not in there, what's the opposite of bold? Is a coward and wanting to run. Exactly. Brethren, listen, there is boldness that's needed when you're trying to proclaim the word of God. Why? Because the devil knows there's power in the word of God. There is power in the scriptures. Jesus Christ, three times, battling with the devil, he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's power in God's word. The devil knows it. That's why when you're trying to witness to somebody, brethren, I'll give you a key. You try to witness to somebody, don't put down the sword. You say the Bible says. I know, but I don't believe the Bible. Yeah, I know, but the Bible says. But I just told you I don't believe the Bible. Yes, but the Bible says. I just told you. Didn't you hear me? I said I don't believe the Bible. Yes, but the Bible says. And there was a man back in the olden days that he was riding a train, and there was a believer on that train. He tried witnessing to that man on that train ride, and that man that sat across him said, he said those very words. He says, I don't believe the Bible. He says, I know, but the Bible says this. He says, sir, but I just told you I don't believe the Bible. He says, yes, but the verse says this. He says, sir, you don't understand. You cannot convince me by the Bible because I don't believe the Bible. He says, I understand, but the Bible says this. And they went on their train ride and they got to their destinations and they went their separate ways. And later on, those two met up again. He said, he came up to that Christian. He says, I am so thankful that you didn't put down the sword because it eventually slayed me. He said, those verses that you kept quoting to me, even though I told you I didn't believe it, it smote my heart and God began to deal with me. That's a true story. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. The world doesn't need to hear what we got to say. The world doesn't need to hear our opinions. This is what the Word of God says. Well, and the devil's going to jump in. Your ears are going to turn red. You're going to get embarrassed because you're going to look like a fool. And that's exactly where you need to be with God. For God to do something. The Bible says. Well, I don't believe it. The Bible says.
That's good.
And God can do something with that. So Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold. You remember what Paul said in the book of Corinthians? How he was in great distress and perplexities and fear, and but God gave him boldness to go forward with the things of God. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Be encouraged, brethren. If Paul and Barnabas need to wax bold, go strong in your God and realize that he'll make you bold in those situations that you need to be bold in, brethren. And he said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye have put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified what? The word of the Lord. What did Paul say? He asked prayer for it, it would have free course. The word of the Lord. Here, they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Brethren, great things. God was doing great things. They did exactly what God wanted them to do. They waxed bold. They preached the gospel. The Gentiles were glad when they heard it. Many of them got saved because of Paul and Barnabas's boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of persecution. And when the persecution was raised and they were pushed out of the coast of that area, verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Brethren, they didn't go back to their cities. They didn't go back to the brethren with a downcast look and upset by the things that they had suffered. They went back with joy and with the full, filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Brethren, you know what we need today in this hour that we're living in? we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. We need to ask God to give us boldness that we can proclaim when He desires for us to say go, when the Lord desires for us to say something, and everything in our flesh is saying no, not right now, no, not at this time, when there's a convenient season. When God's wanting us to speak, may God help us to have that boldness to speak and to say something when He wants us to say it, that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for this precious book. Thank you for the blessed salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Dear God, I pray we'd have the boldness of Paul and Barnabas and those disciples there in the book of Acts. God, help us to be filled with the Spirit, Lord. Help us to walk in the light of the Spirit, dear God, in the light of your word. Lord, help us to, Lord, when you want us to speak, dear God, help us to speak. When you want us to tell somebody about and ask them about their soul, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have that boldness. Lord, the time where the enemy whisper in our ear just to stay quiet, dear God, I pray you'd help us to go forward in the power of your might. Lord, that your word would be glorified and have free course. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just help us now through the rest of this week, dear God, if you should tarry. Lord, help us to live for you and stay faithful to you. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise for it. And we ask it all in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.